Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan. Go by SEC Mike. Go on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite fashionably late cousin, Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Oh, man, doing good. We got some great mailbag questions to tackle here. I just got off the line interviewing someone. I know you did. We got another. I got another one tomorrow. So, man, we may not see the cousins for a couple days live, but they're going to be loaded up with all kinds of content in the days to come.
Absolutely. Great, great content. Again, I apologize for being late. This one was on me. But it is good to be here, Mike. Buddy, I tell you, it's been one of them days. So here's the deal. One of the videos that stands out in my mind is there was a live. Do you remember this live show? I don't remember exactly who it was or the concept, but it was a sports show. And during the live feed,
don't have to go. I think that's too much information there. I know where you're going, but we don't need to go there. That's more of an Easter egg for the early YouTubers. I feel like
is that so. Well, anyway, I'm here, man, and the strep throat is going around on this side. I don't have it, I don't think, but I am on some antibiotics, and it has some side effects.
Well, hey, here's how I steer away from that. Cousin Gregory, he just became a member. Welcome
to the family.
Appreciate you, Cousin Gregory. So, man, you probably don't want to be associated with this anymore after what we've been going through. But I don't know how much you want to tease. How was the interview? I haven't even heard.
Interview's great. We got an OU guy. I think you had Florida. So yep. I mean, but I will say this: we talk about a lot of stuff, not just one particular. So it's pretty exciting. I'm going to be editing that up here in the next day or two and look forward to getting that out. But it was a fantastic with all the news, especially. I think it's so important. I mean, we talked about this yesterday about the ad of Nagy, but I feel like this is a bigger story, not so much for him, but general managers. I feel like this is kind of the move of college football. We're always looking for that next level of that edge, if you will. And I feel like this taking some of that weight off the head football coaches so that they could focus more on the X's and O's, I think is tremendous. And I believe, Mike, in my heart, that we're going to start seeing more and more of this.
Yeah, getting it out. I see what you did there. All right. But, hey, before we get into all that.
Yeah.
Buddy. Okay, little boy. He's done it again, Shane. I don't think he knows he's at Mighty Alabama. Coaching in the SEC yet. I don't think he's got that figured out. Shout out the great Pete Nankos over there at On3. Had a recent article. Spoke with Kalen DeBoer. Here's what he had to say, Shane. We got to get back to a balanced playing field for Alabama. And we got to that's what he says when it comes to paying these players and all that. It allows us to get where it was at one point just a few years back. Where recruiting is real recruiting, not just someone who's going to put in the highest bid. And he's talking about for acquiring talent, of course. But, so DeBoer wants to get it back to the Saban era.
Make it fair.
Why wouldn't he? Greatest coach of all time and greatest faceplant debut, I think, last year at winning 9 games. But, by God, Shane, I mean, read the damn room. You know, make it fair for Alabama. I mean, my God, when is it? Is this post comes to us via Dodge Charger? You know what I mean? Like, since when has it been? When has Alabama been fair to the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Now that we've come down to earth a little bit, now it's like, oh, we see how the other half lives. You know, so I don't. This is the last organization, and it's not so much DeBoer's fault. He wasn't here. He hasn't been here. He doesn't really. I mean, when you're embedded in the Southeastern Conference for as long as we have, Mike, we remember when Bama got everything they wanted. And, hell, you still got Nick Saban coming out here changing rules and changing laws. It's like we still are doing a lot down there, and you kind of were always the tip of the spear, if you will. And now that you're not on top, You know, I don't want to hear the complaint either. You know, don't do that. I think that belittles a little bit of what Nick Saban and company have created down there. I think you should just embrace the expectations and the standards and shut up and go to work.
Or
complain.
We can just make it fair. Make it fair so that Alabama can have the advantage again. Why don't we just do that? You know what?
Yeah. What was his remedy for the current situation that we're in?
Well, just that, you know, when we have this, let's call it what it really is, a salary cap,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be around $15, $16 million that everybody in the SEC and everybody around the country, if they, you don't have to use it all, but there's going to be this cap. So he's just saying, well, if we're all under this cap, the people will come here because they want to come here. You know, we're not going to have Tennessee and A&M and LSU and Texas and on and on and on paying more than we're willing to pay at Alabama. That's his point. And they're not doing away with NIL. So still, this is like an asinine take to begin with. But
yeah,
he just thinks it's not fair right now for Alabama.
Let's see how this plays out, Mike.
Yeah, Jackson says, tell him he's welcome to go back to the Pac-2. You know what?
Damn.
That's ridiculous. Oh, and he's got shout out Cousin Jimmy. I mean, we've done, again, two metrics I've seen that say Alabama's got the best roster in the country next year.
Yeah.
So what the hell are we talking about? Make it fair. You know what I mean?
Less is more, you know, go back to Mike, again, it comes down to football games, wins and losses. Yeah. And honestly, if Bama had one more win, we may be looking at this a little bit different. I'm not quite saying decaying dynasty. I feel like Alabama is always going to be relevant, always going to be toward the top of this sport. But I don't know, man. When you're the mouthpiece of that organization, I don't feel like you need to come out here and do this. And the AD, I mean, you're learning from the other. You know, you don't need to be out here picking up trash either. So I feel like if I had Alabama's job right now, Mike, I'd say bring it on. We're going to be the best. I'm going to get my boosters. I'm going to find the money, and I'm going to stop complaining, and I'm going to tell these recruits this is why they need to come out here, because we created a machine to get you into the NFL.
Yeah, and again, we said it, I think it was yesterday on the show, Shane, but shout out our buddy Chris Marler for filling me in that, you know, the quarterback they just signed, highest-rated quarterback they've ever signed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying he's going to come out and be better than Tua or Jalen Hurts or –
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Young, on and on and on. But if let's say he is elite.
Yeah.
And he's playing for DeBoer, I mean, they'll be fine, basically. But if they're not, then DeBoer, his ass got to go. And I'm not saying immediately, but I'm saying if he's this good,
mm-hmm.
you know, give this quarterback 2 years. We'll see how good Kalen DeBoer really is.
Mike, who am I?
Yo, Sunbird Marler over there.
Oh, I haven't seen him since his farmer's tan, but I do appreciate him coming on. I love giving him a hard time, but yeah, you know, that's a guy that definitely understands what's expected down there in Alabama, and Bama fans, they know what's expected. This is a program that they're diehard, man, and I feel like losing a little bit of the grip last season makes the sport more exciting for those fans, because they're not on top. They're not defending. They're climbing again, and sometimes that's the best part.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of climbing, who's still climbing, Shane? Shout out LSU.
Yeah.
Huge loss, though, this morning. Ooh, Shane.
Big one.
Bo Davis, defensive line coach, off to the New Orleans Saints to be their defensive line coach. Mm-hmm. Bo Davis, regarded by many as the best defensive line coach in the country. You know, there's others that kind of can claim that title as well, but certainly top three, maybe top five at worst. But point being, he was at Texas. Texas has turned into a defensive juggernaut, thanks in part to Bo Davis, the work he's done. And that was a big coup for LSU, getting him back in the fold. Mm-hmm. Now he's gone again. Do people just hate playing for Brian Kelly? Or how big of a loss is this? Because, again, man, this could be a massive one.
Well, I was talking to Tyler about this the other day. You're seeing more and more great coaches go on to the NFL. Why? Because they can get paid the same,
yep.
and they got to work less. They can focus on the craft. And one of the things that Bo's really good at is creating and developing fantastic defensive linemen, and something the Saints really need. It's not like he's having to move too far, you know, and I just think that this is a massive loss. It's not one probably you feel immediately, but that side of the football, Mike, was the one that we've criticized the most. Mm-hmm. And because of Bo, we thought it would improve vastly. And this late moving, this is kind of, I can't imagine any LSU fans happy about this. Texas fans, on the other hand, they're probably on cloud nine.
Yeah, because they didn't lose their guy late in the process, you know. But absolutely, you know, shout out cousin Gunner. He said we still got Blake Baker. True. Swerve says Kevin Peoples. He was the defensive ends coach got from Missouri, so he's still down there. So they still got some great coaches, but you know, it's just a cope if you're like, bah, no loss whatsoever. Now we'll see who they get to replace him. But I didn't realize this either. Check this out, Shane. Since 2020, mm-hmm. not that long ago, right? This is going to be LSU's eighth defensive line coach since 2020.
Damn.
Now they've had some tragedies in there. They've had guys. They've had, you know, went through spring, had to replace them. But God, I can't remember a position group that's had that much. We're talking six seasons, eight coaches. Yeah. That's insane.
What's crazy to me too is because I am older, when I think of LSU, I think about defensive linemen. I think some of the best defensive linemen. And you know, if you were to ask me in 2020, what's the one position that you feel most confident about, it probably have been running back, DB, or defensive lineman. One of those three, maybe wide receiver. But it just kind of blows my mind that that's where we have most of our trouble. And I think that's why LSU fans are so frustrated, man, because they're used to that. They're used to being dominant up front and on defense. So it is definitely a learning curve, but it's really tough on these players to learn from a new guy. You know, I know he wasn't the defensive coordinator, but there's still techniques and things that Bo, I'm sure, was dialed in and helped develop these kids. And now you kind of reset all that.
Man, they've had a lot of talent down there, haven't they, Shane? Where you're sitting here saying, well, they've had good defensive backs.
Yeah.
They've had good defensive line, good running backs, good receiver. Like, you can't even narrow it down to three. They've had so much talent down there in the bayou. You know what?
You know, I know we're in the middle of list season, but you know, you see the quarterback U and the wide receiver U, and it doesn't matter what you put to it. LSU finds one in all those categories. But the bad news is, we're getting less and less of those, it feels like. So, you just kind of want to get back to their roots.
They've had some good linebackers, some good quarter. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
good kickers.
Hey, one more before we get to the mailbag. And some quick basketball. But Texas AD, Chris Del Conte, Shane, he had a State of the Union down there in Austin last night. And I just wanted to be known. He says, hey, I'm pushing like hell to get this SEC to go to the 9-game schedule. So we know Texas is pushing for it, and Texas gets whatever Texas wants, apparently. Yeah. So that, I just wanted to clue everyone in on that. And I thought this was really cool. Whether you agree with this or not, I like statements like this, because he was asked, well, you know, we got games with Ohio State coming up. We've got games with Notre Dame on the books. Are we going to cancel those if we go to the 9-game, he said, hell no. I firmly believe this. Our brand should be playing the greatest brands in college football because we are the best. So, again, you can debate whether they're the best. They are certainly in the elite category, but I like to hear this from a Texas AD, and it gives me confidence, Shane, that I know they're still ironing all this out, but It's been well documented. They're trying to get 4 guaranteed bids for the SEC, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it's not just the top 4 in the standings. There's no clear vision on how they want to do this. But if it's just the 4, you know, best in the SEC standings, why in the hell would you play games like this? You know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I get it. I get it, man. But let's just say hypothetically, since we're saying this, let's say Mizzou last year, mm-hmm. everybody talked about how easy their schedule was. Right. Let's say Mizzou was one of those fringe teams that didn't get in or was going to get in. But the Florida Gators maybe had, you know, one extra loss, but based on the schedule, it was against Georgia or something like that. Yeah, I'm just curious, if you go off just wins and losses, there's going to be scenarios where one team's going to have an easier path, quote unquote, easier path, yeah, and a harder path. And if you base it off some sort of ranking system, not necessarily, ESPN or whatever they're thinking, but maybe, and I hate committees, but it feels like there should maybe be a talk about, should a 3-loss this team get in over a 4-loss this team because they had such a daunting schedule.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could be the schedules, could be this nonsense that they pulled, you know, where it's like head to head.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know, but even if we go to this, or even this crazy one, again, we love to see Texas, Ohio State on the schedule. Georgia, Clemson's, they got a bunch on the books. LSU's got a ton of, all these teams got great games on the schedule.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but why are we even playing those if it's just, you know, guaranteed or SEC, you know, it's just like, I don't know how they fit.
Here's the thing, Mike, there is no perfect system. Like, honestly, you could come out with what you think is the best way of doing it. You're going to find 5 other people that are telling you that is a terrible idea. So I feel like it's ripping a Band-Aid. But what I don't like is this hee-hawing around. This let's change a little bit. Let's tweak this through the years. Let's come out with a system and stick with it, and then that be the way. Don't come back 4 years from now and say, hey, we're going to add 2 more teams and we're going to have 5. It's like, let's don't keep moving the goalpost here. Let's come out with a system. Let's lock it in place for a while so that the fans can appreciate every single game played on Saturday.
Michael Riley says, perfect system is let Florida in every year.
Damn, Michael. Nailed it. Michaels are so smart.
I mean, we could sit here and debate this all day, but it should just be the top, however many, 12, 14, 16, just take the top 16 ranked teams, don't you think? And it doesn't have to be 11-1 Indiana who didn't play anybody. They automatically get in.
Yeah.
If we got Georgia, that's 9-3, but played Ohio State and Clemson in the non-conference, you know, got to 9-3, that they should be in. You know what I mean? I don't think it's as complicated as we're making it. Just take the highest 14 teams or whatever.
Well, now you said that, I don't like the ranking system now that I think about it, because the Indiana, there's going to be teams that float out that play nobody, and we're going to have to put them in because they happen to be 8th, even though, you know, they're going to get absolutely smoked by a Big Ten or a SEC team. I would say this, Mike, more I think about it, it should be wins and losses, but not all wins and losses. I think it should be more SEC wins and losses, just like deciding who goes to an SEC championship. And if there are some that are on the bubble or whatever, then I think let's say they're tied. I think it should go immediately to strength of schedule, and whoever has it, or maybe do the other games or something like that. But I would think strength of schedule would be the one that gets you in or leaves you out.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get you with the
No.
Now we're making it convoluted again.
Yeah. Took me a minute. It takes a little while to get rattled through here, but no, that's a terrible idea.
All right. Hey, real quick before we get back to the mailbag, Shane.
Yeah.
Last night, God, there were some great games in the SEC on the hardwood, Shane. All right. This was kind of the big one for NCAA tournament, in my opinion. Arkansas beats Texas in overtime, 86-81. And it was pretty interesting because during the end of that game, it was ESPN or SEC Network. I can't recall what channel it was that was on, but they showed up. These teams' resumes are damn near identical in terms of strength of schedule, in terms of record, conference record, all this. And they played twice, and Arkansas's won both. So it doesn't automatically mean Arkansas's in, Texas is out. But I think that was huge for Arkansas, and the fact that it was an overtime game, you know, could have went either way. So it's not like they're markedly better, but again, I think that should give them a giant edge. Kentucky beat Oklahoma on the road, 83-82. What a heartbreaker for the Sooners. I think the Sooners would have been in for sure had they won this game.
And
they had the lead with like 20 seconds left in a game, but Kentucky does what Kentucky's very clutch this year.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, I just, on the last show, I said, well, they can't win on the road. Well, they just went down and won on the road at A&M. A&M's a top 15 team. They're kind of fading fast, but Vanderbilt may have punched their ticket with that big win. And then Auburn beat the hell out of Mississippi State 106-76, showing once again, I think Auburn is far and away the most complete team in the SEC. And buddy, check out these mega showdowns we got on Saturday. Number 6, Alabama, at number 5, Tennessee. Hell of a game. Number 1, Auburn, at number 17, Kentucky. Kentucky's probably moving up because they just won. And then game day, the game day picked the wrong one here. Number 12, Texas A&M, at number 3, Florida. So give Florida and A&M their due. They're getting game day. But those are just the three of the arguably biggest games on Saturday. We got another hell of a lineup here in the SEC in basketball.
Yeah, well, I keep saying this, Mike. I'm going to go to bed early. I say it every time. And then the 9 o'clock games come on. And guess who's not going to bed early? It's like, yeah, let's go to overtime. You know? Oh, man. I just, them Sooners, I told you I had the Oklahoma conversation. I felt bad. I didn't even want to bring it up because I've been there. And it felt like an elimination game. I'm not saying that it was, but you had moments, you had opportunities to kind of put that one away and didn't. So, but that's the nature of this game, brother. And Saturday, absolutely loaded. So, I mean, nothing's getting done around this house on Saturday.
Well, it wasn't anyway, was it?
No, but now I have a good excuse, you know?
All right, let's get into the mailbag, Shay. We got some great off-the-wall stuff here. But shout out Michael Riley. I like to lead with him. He's always asking a question. He's an official cousin, member of the channel, so he gets his question answered every single time. We got a couple members of the channel ask questions, Shane. Shout out Michael Riley. Greatest SEC defensive player of all time. Buddy, I list like seven guys here.
The best SEC player of all time?
Defensive.
Oh, defensive player of all time.
So you want me to go down my list here and see if you want to add to any?
Yeah, that'd be good.
I got to put Eric Berry into the conversation.
Yeah.
I have a special place in my heart for old Eric Berry. I was there on campus when he was, and he was just, Tennessee was not good, but Eric Berry was damn good that entire time.
Yes.
Give me Glenn Dorsey, defensive, speaking of LSU defensive lineman, he was a damn game wrecker.
Yeah.
The year they won the national championship, it was, I don't know that I've seen a game record on the defensive line interior, especially like I have Glenn Dorsey. I always thought Jonathan Allen, I don't think he got enough credit at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I thought Alabama, that was the best SEC defense I ever saw, and they didn't win the national championship. So I think they don't get the respect. They lost to Clemson, Deshaun Watson, you know, like the final play of the fourth quarter. So, I mean, had that gone the other way, I think more people would recognize that Alabama defense as one of the best ever. Patrick Peterson, LSU, good Lord, was he good? And that's cheating a little because, he was such a dynamic returner too, but still a great corner. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, loved that guy, putting him on the list. David Pollack, I believe he was a 3-time All-American.
Tennessee hated that guy.
You can't put a guy like him on this list if you're going to do a list, 3-time All-American. But my favorite of all time, Shane, and I've never steered from this. No one's ever impressed me more. Patrick Willis, Ole Miss linebacker. Wasn't even good. I mean, it was Coach O era. That's how bad Ole Miss was. But I don't know. I think he's the most dominant defensive player in college football I've ever seen.
Mine's skewed. Obviously, I didn't have time to prepare for this list, but actually, I probably did if I was just read the tweet. But
it's all public.
It is. It is public information. Now that I've said it, I know it. But mine's a little different. I always think about somebody that just stood out to me. And it doesn't necessarily mean they were the best defensive player, but I think of just absolute freaks in the game. You know, I grew up. You know, Reggie White was somebody I idolized. I went to book signings, didn't read the book, but I did get the book. I did have him sign it, you know. So the Minister of Defense, you got to have him on there. I feel like, and that's,
I did watch him in college, though. That was before my time.
Well, then that's somebody I always like when you're playing football in the front yard and you pick a guy who to be. You know, if it wasn't William Perry for me, it was Reggie White, you know, and Now, my time, Big John Henderson, Albert Haynesworth, those guys come to mind. I love, drawing a blank, middle linebacker. I mean, you just...
Al Wilson.
Yeah, Al Wilson. Now, you leave. So one of the guys that I grew up is Takeo Spikes. I used to see Takeo Spikes. I like, they do like 10 minutes talking about how big his neck is. And I'm just like, man, this guy's an absolute freak, you know? Javon Curse. I think of who else we got?
Oh my God. Some people say Clowney. Clowney was awesome. But I hate to say this, this makes me sound like a hater. I think he's a little overrated because he has like the most impressive tackle of all time. I mean, he was still awesome, but hell, when your head coach says you ain't trying.
Yeah.
Spurrier said some wild stuff. So, you know, maybe that was just Spurrier being Spurrier, but I don't, these legends that were going down, I don't remember their head coaches being like, well, I don't think this guy's giving all effort. But I said that about Clowney.
I do think like if he was 100% dialed in, especially right. his senior or junior year, yeah. I feel like he could have just the fact that we talked about him every single football game, you know, people knew he was there. It's almost yeah. like Myles Garrett. You just knew it. That's we talked about him every single play, almost like look what he did, or look like Will Anderson did. It's like these guys that come around so often, they you see it with LSU right now with the guy that Perkins. It was a guy that's a focal piece. And maybe you don't realize how good he is because everyone else is focused on him, especially the offense. But a Danny Stutzman or something like that. It's like these yeah. guys are just absolute animals. And unfortunately, sometimes they don't have the statistics that you would want. Mainly because they're not running to that guy, you know? So sometimes the best stat is no stat. I think about that with corners and we've had some absolute great athletes come through this conference. And I know the people in the comments are probably just like yelling like, what about this guy? There are so many, but me personally, those are the ones that kind of stood out.
Because when Mark says Paul Crewe, you remember him?
Mm-mm. Is that Terry Crews? I don't know. Who's Paul Crewe?
We saw this guy in the movie theater.
Which movie theater?
It's Adam Sandler movie. What's it called? Where they go to the jail. That's Paul Crewe. or Burt Reynolds was the original yeah. one. You know, Longest Yard. Longest Yard.
Oh, man. Rest in peace, Gene. Did you see he passed?
Yeah.
That was kind of sad. What was your favorite? Did you ever watch Hoosiers or anything like that?
I mean.
Nah, is he too old for you?
Again, it's not bashing, I don't think, but the guy just died. I don't want to say anything, but it's like,
just do it.
I feel like that one's, I think it's overrated. I'm not saying it's bad. Yeah. I saw people are like, oh my God, you seen Hoosiers? I'm like, yeah.
We should do that. We should rank sports movies because I'm right there with you. I thought Hoosiers was good. Yeah, I didn't think it was great. It wouldn't have been in my top 10, you know?
Like, I'm an idiot, but I'd rather watch Waterboy. You know what I mean?
I do like Waterboy, so I can't argue with you there.
All right, how about this one, Shade, from cousin Jason's story here. He's another member of the channel, so he automatically gets his question answered. How about this, Shane? So apparently, I'm not fully aware of this, but according to him, Oklahoma is brainstorming of what to do instead of a spring game, perhaps open practices. Charge $20 a ticket with memorabilia signings and all the money go to NIL. What do you guys think of this idea? Could raise a ton of money for the program. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to it, but again, now that we got millions and millions of dollars coming in to pay these players.
Yeah.
I'm still uncomfortable with something that's free and then being like, let's charge these great fans that's why there is a program because of the fans. Let's charge their ass so we can pay people. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that.
No, I think it should be free. One of the things too that they're doing, I noticed, is they've got a tour set up. So you could pay $50, tour the facilities. You could go back and go to the locker room, but it's $35 if you don't do the locker room.
Right.
Yeah, I do. I understand the nickel and dime and The problem is there's always people that are in an office that are trying to hit a number, and they're like, hey, let's do this. Let's add on to that. You know, this, if we do this for everyone, we can make an extra $1 million, and then we can put that. So it sounds good in theory, but sometimes you got to look beyond the numbers. This is about fanfare. It's about fandom. And I feel like this should be an absolutely free event. There shouldn't, you can go to and I'm just using an example, a Papa John's, and say, hey, we'll put your name all over this thing if it's Papa John's spring practice. And then that's where you could get your money. Don't take right. it from the fan. Take it from one of these big companies that want the sponsorship. Turn around, give them little gift bags as they're walking into the stadium. But walking on the field, seeing the players and coaches, that was, when I was younger, one of my favorite parts of the spring game. Not necessarily the spring game. As I got older, I wanted to see some of the new, you know, freshmen that were coming in, transfer portal kids, things like that. Yeah. But ultimately, it's about, I think, the families, the kids, and there should never be a dollar sign next to it, because you just excluded people. And I don't think that should be the case.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting close, Shane. Yeah, I mean, you can push people, and you can push them and push them and push them.
Yeah.
We got to be careful not to push them too far, and the game starts trending in the wrong direction. I don't think it's there, yeah. But with every one of these ideas, we get closer to it. You know what?
I mean, did you not just cash a $54 million check? I mean, and you want to turn around and charge me $50 to come in here and see where they change? No, hell with that, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, who we ain't charging, Shane.
Who's that?
I don't know how to transition from that. JR, what a legend. He's back. Cause. This time he's gifted Foster the Person a membership. So, Foster, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of the legend JR. Never charge JR to go in there. You know what?
No, JR should get a privatized tour of whatever facility he wants to go visit. That is truly VIP right there.
Another VIP, Shane. Cousin Sven, he's here now, and he's always here. We appreciate you, Cousin Sven. He's got a long one. I don't know if I'm going to read this whole thing, but here's his question, Shane. Do you really believe the ACC and the Big 12 will agree to 4 automatic bids from the SEC and the Big 10? He says, I am not. There are 135 teams, not 36. Like I said, he kind of goes on here. But what do you think? SEC and Big Ten walking very thin ice, according to Cousin Sven. I get that. But here is the reality, Shane. The SEC and the Big Ten, starting in 2026, they own the playoff.
Yep.
They can do whatever the hell they want. And I see what he's saying. There's more teams, so you would think, well, they deserve more. I get that logic, but let me ask you. I mean, we can insert any team here. Like, what are the best teams? And how many are there of the marquee of the 100 whatever teams that are not in the SEC, that are not in the Big Ten? Like, who are we talking? Like Clemson, Florida State? Or maybe Miami. I mean, quickly.
Maybe Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Quickly, we're running out of. So here's the thing. This is all coming from most of the money. Like, the vast majority has come from TV, right?
Yeah.
You could get Notre Dame, Clemson, let's say. You can get a pretty big audience for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now where we're going? Miami, North Carolina? Like, already yeah. there's a huge drop.
That's a huge drop.
Meanwhile, SEC, Big Ten, we can go Alabama, Ohio State. We can go Georgia, Michigan. We could go, you know, on and on. Oklahoma versus Penn State. We could do this all day and just interchange all those teams. Who are you going to sign up to go watch on a television? They know that audiences are there for these Big Ten teams and these SEC teams. That's why they control it. They control the revenue. So if they don't do, if the SEC and the Big Ten say, we got 4 guaranteed, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, then if the other teams say no, again, they have no say in it anyway. The SEC and the Big Ten have already threatened to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. And it would just be, it may not make as much as putting in the whole country, but it will make enough to where, remember, they won't even have to split it with anybody anymore. So their money is going to be made. And again, should money drive all these decisions? No, I don't think it's good for the game. But that's the reality, and that's why the Big Ten and the SEC have full control of what this is in a year.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you're going to take what we give you because we're this close to making our own league, you know? And I feel like that's the big one. It's just like, if you push too hard, well, guess what? We just leave you out completely, and we will still watch college football without you. So I don't want it to go there, so I'm glad that they are included. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about money, and I hate to say it, but that's what it is. Money and movies or TV, and Big Ten and SEC will always be at the top of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't disagree with this more, Sven. He's in here now. He says SMU controls the complete Dallas TV market.
SMU could be dangerous, man.
I don't think so. I think Texas and Texas A&M control Dallas. What I mean, hell, we just had SMU media days down there. I didn't even know SMU was in Dallas. Did you?
It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you right now, SMU is a team that I wouldn't mind at some point. If we ever talked expansion,
yeah,
it would be a team I would consider. They got money, man.
Guess
they
what,
got...
Shane? Guess what? The second, here's Commissioner Greg Sankey. Hey, SMU, would you like to join? They say yes, or they wouldn't let him finish his damn sentence. They'd be in the SEC.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get it. Yeah, and I would have them if they kept spending like the other teams, the other Texas teams, especially.
Right. Well, you know who just spent more, Shane? Wilburn Mobley. He just became a member. William, right.
Welcome to the family.
You notice he ain't on an SMU channel.
No.
Uh-uh. I'm kidding. Hey, speaking of spending, real quick, though, Shane, before we carry on with the mailbag, don't forget, this week, brought to you, what, 1 week only here, till next time, perhaps, cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. Get 30% off your entire order over at Cornbread Hemp. They got the THC gummies. They got the CBD sleep gummies. This is a small business out of the state of Kentucky. This is completely legal, 21 years of age. Oh, check them out, cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. I think Cousin Sven might be on some of this cornbread when he's thinking SMU controls Dallas market. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, maybe, but I'm telling you, SMU, that's like, if I was getting in to like the, finally opened up the checkbook, take me to either Vanderbilt or SMU.
Yeah.
And let me cook, son. Let me cook.
Cousin Tony says, is that why Shane was late? Old cornbread him? No, if he was on that cornbread, he'd be here early. Trust me.
Yeah, I've been here for, yeah. I thought we were supposed to be here an hour ago.
All right, how about this one, Shane, from Cousin Colin Moore Magic. What a name. What a name there. He says, hypothetically, if our new quarterback, Austin Simmons, down there at Ole Miss, if he wins the Heisman during his time, remember, I think he's got 3 years left to play. Do you think the Rebels would compete for a national championship? If we told you the quarterback wins the Heisman,
oh yeah,
I would say not only would they compete, I think there's a good chance that they win the national championship because fair or not, Shane, I think it's a little bit harder to win the Heisman at a place like Ole Miss. I'm trying to think of, you know, Archie Manning was he didn't win it, but he was nominated for it. I'm trying to think of many others that really even competed for it. Yeah, if he wins a Heisman, I think that means that's an elite team.
I'm right there with you. I'm looking at list of Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, when you're looking at this list, other than Travis Hunter, because I would kind of put Colorado, not necessarily that I think Colorado is better than Ole Miss, but it is it's not a blue blood. And, right. and I'm not saying Ole Miss isn't or couldn't be, it's definitely becoming that. But since then, I mean, where name one kid that, I mean, we're talking Bama, LSU, Oklahoma. I mean, I can't since Florida State, no, Lamar Jackson, that I would say Louisville, I think, but you're talking one every 10 years. So you're right. If he wins the Heisman, then I would say, if that's the only information I got, that either Ole Miss went to a national championship or even won it, because that's what it took to get there for an Ole Miss quarterback. And it's unfortunate because of the stupid voting that we have for this Heisman. Unless you, that would be the asterisk, is like they fixed Heisman voting where they actually are putting the best athlete that should win it. So, but until then, yes, I think he's right.
And then Colin Moore, he's got one other, not a question, but I thought this was pretty cool. He says, I build custom epoxy wood tables.
Okay.
You guys should let me build you one for the show, or maybe a sign instead of a table with your logo on it. It would be super cool. So I'm down for that, Shane. If a wood table or a wood sign, whatever you want, we'll display it on the show. But and maybe that'll bring Ole Miss the luck they need to win that natty.
Well, that's what everybody says. Like, how did I get that bourbon? Well, that was sent to me. You know, how'd I get that Mizzou cup? It was given to me. It was, you know, cowbell back here from Mississippi State. If you got something, if your team's not represented behind me and you just see the Tennessee ball stuff, well then, my gosh, you let me know. I'll give you my P.O. box and then I'll display it for you.
Yeah, so reach out to us at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com for anything like that. Hey, Sir UGA's got a quick one. Shane, is Cracker Barrel a Blue Bud restaurant?
Yeah, they really are. They really are. Absolutely.
All right, I love this question, Shane, from Hanky Too Raw. I hope that's not a profanity or anything. Which SEC team that has never made the playoff, so that's the key, never made the playoff, would you give the best chance to make it in the next 3 to 5 seasons? And why is it Mizzou? Come on! Thank you, Mizzou Mike. So I got a list here, and I kind of put them in order.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong here.
How many teams are we talking?
I mean, you could pick as many as you want.
No, again, I mean, like, how many is on the list of never going to I probably should say which teams have been. So you got what? Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee,
LSU,
Texas. And is that it?
Technically, Oklahoma's made it a couple times, but not as an SEC. But I still count them as making the college football playoff. So
yeah,
that's your list right there.
Okay, so then we got the 10 left. Yeah. Out of those 10, okay. I think I've got an order.
Number one on my list, you ain't going to like it. You're going to hate it.
Who?
Florida. Come on, DJ Lagway. I mean, I think that guy's that damn good, Shane. He can overcome Billy Napier. I think Florida can get there. Again, we're talking just make the playoff. He didn't say win the national championship. He said make the playoff. Give me Florida. They got red hot at the end of the season. I think they're a playoff, a sleeper this year.
Has LSU ever been a playoff?
Yeah, they've won the national championship.
Oh,
sir.
Shit. Yeah, that's right. I'm an idiot. Yeah, I would have. I think Florida should be on the list. I don't think they should be at the top of the list. I would put Ole Miss there right now just because where they're at. As long as Lane Kiffin's there, they're always going to be in conversation about making the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's all you do. Got to get in and then you can win. And I felt like, you know, I felt like this is a team that really should have been in the playoffs last year, and playing the way they were at the tail end of the season, I kind of hate that they weren't, because I would love to see what they would have done. But I would put Ole Miss right now. I put
Ole Miss number two, just so you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, number two, I would put Mizzou. Based off this year, just the schedule, it just feels like a great opportunity to get to the playoffs. The road may never be easier than it is right now. A lot of factors, a lot of moving pieces. Obviously, your quarterback's got to be something. That's the biggest question mark. But long-term, after that, I would have Florida and Texas A&M and then South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, you took them off. I got Missouri three.
That's the order, though. That's the order I'd have it.
I got South Carolina four.
Yeah.
And I got Texas A&M number five. I'm not hyping them up anymore.
We're kind of on the same list. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. Yeah. Is there anybody else we're leaving off? Anybody that's going to come back and haunt us later? Auburn, maybe? No. No.
I gotta see who their new coach is first, you know.
See if the kids stay behind after Hugh's gone. All right.
All right. How about this one, Shay, from Levi? Soft or crunchy taco from Taco Bell?
The answer is both.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You gotta pick one, though. What is your favorite?
I ain't got to do shit, Mike, but tell you what I like.
That's the question.
Like, they make them both. It's called a double-decker taco supreme, and it is the greatest thing the Taco Bell has ever invented till they got rid of it. They replaced it with the stacker, which is still a hard shell on the inside, soft shell on the outside. So the answer, I love crunchy tacos. The problem with crunchy tacos, it's good for one bite. After that, it's a hot mess. You need a bowl, you're going to make it. But the soft taco around it is a protective blanket that keeps all the goodness inside. So you get the crunch, and you're not making a mess all over yourself as you're driving home.
Shane, I would have never guessed that if you go to a restaurant and they say, you want option A or option B, that you're the type of guy that says, give them both to me.
I am a both kind of guy, Mike, you know? I've gone to menus and looked at calories. I said, wait, that was 500. That must be a big taco. Let me get that one.
Now, I don't know anything about this next one, but you were saying something about it. We don't have to discuss it. If you don't want to, you can fill me in, because I don't have any clue, but people keep hitting me up with this. Tommy Shades, what are your thoughts on Mary Kate at Ole Miss?
You know,
can you feel? I don't even know what this is. You asked me about it. I said, I'm not familiar.
Here's the deal. We jumped off a show once, and you know, you got the for you and then the following. And I was on the for you, and every tweet was about this situation. Okay. So I asked you, I said, have you heard anything about that? At first I thought this was Lane Kiffin's girlfriend. That's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, this must be about Lane Kiffin or something, you know? Upon further review, it was not about Lane Kiffin, which was an ultimate surprise. I think that was the biggest surprise about the whole situation, and maybe where it caught fire, because people thought it may be Lane Kiffin related. But apparently, and this is all apparently, this young lady was in a relationship with a young man, and apparently she ended up having a relationship with the young man's father, which is, again, this is all allegedly. I don't know. I don't even know the girl that well. But apparently this is going on a couple of times. There's some screenshots of conversations and stuff. But the twist, the ultimate twist here, is she went back to the boyfriend, and the boyfriend took her. So it's like, you know? And I one of the favorite videos that came out is John, I can't think of his last name, but Step Brothers. You know, he says, what happens if I come out and there's a beat? He says, he's had the old bull, but now he's
I assumed it had to be something like that, because there was a follow-up under Tommy Shade's question. An Aggie fan, who would you be more mad at, your dad or your girlfriend who hooked up with your dad? So who would you be more mad up there, Shade?
The girlfriend. See ya, you know. But I'd still be pissed at dad, too, you know. I'd be like, dad, what the, you know?
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
All right, how about this one, Shane? This is right up your alley. From Gamecock Phil, we just sent him a koozie recently. Cracker Barrel Championship. Are you taking chicken and dumplings or fried chicken?
Fried chicken all day long. Something I'm kind of giving you a little hint here or a little tease of the show that I'm putting together. But I think the chicken and dumpling was one of the superior items on that menu, but they changed it somehow. And I don't know what it is, but the last three times that I had it twice. My wife's had it once since then. Every time it's been watery, a little too watery for my liking. And I ain't about that life. So chicken and dumpling used to be up there, I would say easily, but give me the chicken steak all day long.
Maybe we can get them to change it somehow.
Well, I mean, seriously, we'll have a conversation. They'll answer my calls and they'll stop blocking me all the time.
All right. Then last one, Trey Tucker, he always asks the greatest question, Shane, a football question and then a food question. So this coming season, which new quarterback is most likely to be like DJU at Florida State, be a complete and utter disaster out of the transfer portal. Anyone come to mind? Could be SEC, could be nationally. I think I've got the perfect one.
You go. You think could be a disaster, a transfer that could be a disaster, correct? Yep. All right, you give me yours, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Carson Beck at Miami.
Oh, well, that's... I didn't know you were going outside. Is there anybody in the SEC?
I've got one for... He's got a follow-up here, but... I mean, disasters?
Is there one you're worried about? Is there one that maybe you're a little more worried about than the others?
The ultimate question mark is Arnold at Auburn.
Oh, glad you read my mind. I was thinking Jackson. That's like what if he was the problem? Not saying he was, but what if? And I feel like now that you've kind of did all this, you paid all this money to get him down here, are we going to have that situation where we have no one else in the quarterback room? You know what I'm saying? And then we're making excuses after a loss. So that's kind of one I've got my eyes on, because we've seen bad Jackson, you know?
Right. And then here's his second part. And which quarterback is most likely to be Diego Pavia and light it up and help turn around? I've got the perfect one, I think.
Yeah, I think I know exactly who it is. Is his initials JM?
Jomaki, come on down to Oklahoma and save our mighty program. So I think he fits that to it. I mean, it's almost verbatim. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing the offensive coordinator, bringing other assistants. Well, the head coach really from New Mexico State. So keeping the band together, that's exactly what they're doing in Oklahoma. So I think John Mateer fits that mold.
I tell you what, I know I've been teasing all day long, but man, I'm getting more and more excited about what Mateer brings to this Oklahoma offense, and not to mention the coordinator coming in. I feel like this is a system that truly just moved in and doesn't have to revamp at all. And that's what I like. I hate waiting till year two to see what the OC does. Yeah. I feel like this is a system that can hit on day one. And from Oklahoma going from 6 wins to us talking about them this much in the offseason, they must be doing something right.
All right, then here's the last one, follow-up here from Cousin Trey. Mm-hmm. Cousin Shane is opening a country cooking restaurant in a foreign country.
Ooh.
What's on the menu?
It's barbecue. It's without a doubt barbecue for me. Mm. It's because I'm going it's something easy. Not, I don't want to say easy. It's an art, you know, but
yeah, you got to impress the foreigners, Shane. You can't just go easy.
No, I mean, I would, but I'd keep things simple. I think where a lot of these barbecue places go wrong, they shouldn't have a Cheesecake Factory menu. You should have like 5 or 6 things that you're really good at and keep hammering it.
Yeah.
Rotate an item, kind of like a Shamrock Shake, if you will. You just ever so often you throw that on the menu, but for me, you got to have your meats, and not too many. If you're a pork guy or you're a chicken guy, stick to that. But don't be that and a brisket guy. And it's like, I feel like you got to have a little bit of like a specific, like 3 meats max. You got to have some baked beans. You got to have really good potato salad. And that's it. Coleslaw, you could throw that. That's one of those. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I do like it. But that's, for me, that's all you need right there.
Mm. And how about this one from Cousin Tony? He says, cinnamon chicken.
I'd hit
no
it.
Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits. I love biscuits.
And you're allergic to cinnamon. You still eat it.
I still eat it all the time, Mike. You know, if I'm off the next day or something, I'll take a chance.
And Cousin Trey also, he added this, would you exclusively hire big guys to cook?
Yeah. You never trust a skinny cook. You know, only fat guys, but not too fat. Not Cousin Shane fat, because sometimes they don't want to go to work and they take shortcuts. You know, there's a certain level of plumpness that's allowed in the kitchen.
Okay. Okay. Well,
we'd never make money if I worked there, you know, like, why aren't we hitting the bottom line? Well, because your ass is still in the kitchen.
Yeah, they say people that open bars, that's how they lose most of their money, free alcohol given away. So yours is the opposite, free food given, huh?
Well, no, just me eating it. Yeah.
Right.
You know how you got those chefs, they're doing the taste and stuff. And they're like, how many spoons are you going to throw in the sink here, Shane?
All right. Hey, anything else before we hop off the line?
No. I mean, like I said, it's going to be probably, you know, start of the week before you see us again. But stay tuned. We got a lot of awesome content. One of my favorite interviews is coming up. Mike put together a couple himself. And so be sure to stay tuned and check those out. And man, it was just good. I love these mailbag questions. Thanks for the cousins hanging out with us. And I look forward to seeing y'all soon.
Yeah, Marla and I will be back to do power rankings for basketball, so don't forget about that. But, yeah, we got a lot of content coming on the channel. Like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.